When I was about 9 years old, we moved into a house in Warrior, Alabama that was half finished. Particularly the basement area, they never dug it out. They dug footings on a slope, and so that slope was still underneath the floorboards. And my dad, there was me and two or three brothers that were stair steps above me, 2, 3, 4 years ahead. And here's what my dad said. He said, "Boys, if y'all will dig that out, I'll give you so much money, or I'll fix that go-kart that ain't got a motor on it," or whatever. I forget exactly what he offered us, but it sounded really good until we started digging. And we dug, and we dug, and we dug. And we didn't seem to be getting anywhere. We hit a lick at it the next day, dug and dug. And it dawned on, I think, all of us, this ain't ever gonna happen. What we needed some power tool. We needed one of these little termites to reach up in there and go, because wheelbarrow at a time, shovel at a time, and that dirt was hard. You had to break it down, cut it down before you could haul it out. We needed more hands, more muscles, probably more brains. We needed something we didn't have. Guess what? Basement never got dug out. We lived there 4 or 5 years. It never got dug out. And we never got whatever he was dangling in front of our face either. The same is true about our spiritual lives. There's things, they're too big for us. We need power that we don't have in our own flesh, in our own strength. It's obvious that most of us here, we know. We're up against things with just our ingenuity and our brains and our determination and our perseverance alone is just not enough. It's not enough. That's the bad news. The good news is the Spirit of God moves mountains. The Spirit of God is the power that breaks through impossible barriers and that can move mountains and can give us the breakthrough we need. Amen? Let's pray. Father, I just pray that you would enable us to put our foot down, to drive our stake in the ground and say, I will stand in faith, believing that what you promised is available to me today. And I want all that you've got for me. Do that in each of us today in Jesus' name. Can you say amen? Amen. Limitations and labels do not determine our possibilities when the Spirit of God's involved. Limitations and labels do not determine my possibilities when the Spirit of God is involved. You know, you can go all through the Bible, and they were in various situations where if God didn't show up, they were cooked, right? They were messed, man. It was over. Red Sea, desert wanderings, Promised Land, Jericho. Just go all the way through the Bible. Gideon, you can just follow it and follow it and follow it. David against Goliath. I know David was a wiry whippersnapper of a young guy, but it was God's power that brought Goliath down. Don't you kid yourself and think it's just how good a shot he was. There was a reason the whole army of Israel was hiding in fear. Zechariah the prophet said it well. It's not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. With the Spirit of God, all things are possible. Just say it with me. With the Spirit of God, all things are possible. So my question last week was, why not me? My question this week is, why not us? Us as a church, us together. Because can I tell you, there's very few things God wants to do solo with just you and me. Now, he starts with you and me one-on-one, but he brings us into a group. And what God is really wanting to do in us happens in the group. It happens in the context of relationship with other believers. Most of the things he wants to do, they include at least our connection with believers, other believers. Can't get any amens, but it's still true. So, why not us? Why not us? Because we can have what the early church had. Amen. We can have what the early church had. And the first thing they had was breakthroughs of impossible barriers. Breakthroughs of impossible barriers. A spirit-filled church tears down walls, builds bridges because they are focused on the mission. Let me say it again. A spirit-filled church breaks down walls, builds bridges because we are, I'll say we, not they, we are a spirit-filled church because we focus on the mission that is close to God's heart. I want to show you something. Acts chapter 1, verse 6 and 7. Then they gathered around him. They're talking about Jesus. This is right before he ascends back to heaven after he's resurrected. He's having lunch with them. Really? Remember last week? He was eating with them and he starts talking to them. Remember that? As they're talking, we pick the story up. Then they gathered around him and asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? He said to them, it's not for you to know the times or dates the Father set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Now, if you don't realize this, and you're not all that keen on biblical geography, Jerusalem was the center, Judea was that immediate area, Samaria was like the next state over, and then you go on from there to the ends of the earth. In other words, he's saying, I'm going to start where you're at, and we're going to enlarge the impact you make until it reaches the ends of the earth. Remember, why not us? Because we can have what the early church had. And what did they have? First thing was, they had breakthrough of impossible barriers. They had breakthrough of cultural and geographical and language barriers. They had breakthrough. I want to go to Acts chapter 2, verse 5. This is right after the Holy Spirit, the promise of the Father, has been given. They are speaking with other tongues, and the whole town shows up because there's been a wind, there's been flames of fire sitting over their heads, and now there is a crowd of at least 3,000 because that many got saved that day. Most of you know this story. You could almost quote these verses. But I just want to focus in on one of them. It says, now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. Now, if you go on a few verses down, it starts listing all these nations that none of them hardly make much sense to us except maybe Rome and whatever. But the point was this. There was a diverse crowd of people there, and there were probably communication barriers. And the Holy Spirit, from the get-go, as he descended on this early church, he began to show them, I've got what you need to reach the world. The world. Just want to make sure you stay with me. So say the world.
The world.
All right. The impact of that church is unmatched in history. I will say it was unmatched in history. I'll get to that in a minute. That early church, probably roughly 500 people, saw Jesus ascend back to heaven. That church of 500 in 250 years grew to 30, estimated by historians, 34 million people. Are you hearing me? Oh, 250 years is a long time. Yes, it is. But they went from 500 in a backwater place of the Roman Empire to 34 million believers. And get this, no technology. No radio, no telephone, no television, no printing press, no telegraph, no, buses or airplanes. The power in this church impacted one of the greatest empires ever in the world history. Not only did they do it all without that, they did it in the midst of horrible persecution at some points in that 250 years, and they had no government favor. All of the laws were written against them. Everything was against this church we're talking about. We've got to understand this was an impossible barrier. I think we should be politically active. We're in a democracy. We have a voice. I think to be good Christian stewards, we should use our voice and our influence as voters, as citizens of this nation. But can I tell you something? This church grew in a totally hostile environment, not only politically, but there were other religions that were much more entrenched, had been entrenched for hundreds and thousands of years, and the culture was totally saturated with pagan religion. They had that against them too. And yet, if you read the rest of this book of Acts, you're going to find out that one city said, these are those people who have turned the world upside down. Why? One reason. They were spirit empowered. That's the difference. Oh yes, the leaders had at least had seen Jesus resurrected. But remember what Jesus said? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe. Most of those 34 million had never seen the resurrected Jesus. But they saw evidence of His power and His grace and His love and His mercy. Why not us? Can you give me a good reason? It's a rhetorical question because I know you can't. Oh, I know this isn't 2,000 years ago. Things have changed. Yeah, but there's several things that haven't changed. Number one, the power of the gospel. The power of the gospel can heal the deepest wounds of the human heart. Another thing that hasn't changed is the power of the Holy Spirit that helps us relate the gospel. The power of the Holy Spirit is still available. Another thing that hasn't changed is there's plenty of pagan religion all around us, and the government isn't real fond of us right now. Same thing, only theirs was worse. I'm convinced their situation was much worse than what we find ourselves in. Will it get worse here? Maybe. But my point is this, is they had impossible barriers. But in the power of the Holy Spirit, they were able to break through and turn the Roman Empire with all its political savagery and all of the religious demonic strongholds, turned it on its head. With no technology, no cool music, no cool lights, no nothing. No Facebook page. Just people full of the Holy Spirit that loved each other. And the world looks at them and say, my, how they love one another. I say that church was unmatched until now. Because I want to tell you something, around our world, there are thousands of mosques that have Bible studies, covert Bible studies going on right under the imam's nose. In China, probably 100,000 believers there when the communists took over in the 40s or 50s. Now the Chinese church is estimated, the underground church, I don't include the government approved and controlled church, which I'm not sure that even counts, But the underground church, over 150 million. And that happened over the last 60 years of communism. You can't get much more intolerant of Christianity than communism or Islam. Why not us? I want this question to resonate in every one of our hearts. Why not us? You say, well, what are you really saying, Pastor Gary? I'm saying, why not us impacting our community with the power of the gospel and the Spirit of God? Why not us seeing people born again and delivered from addictions? Why not us seeing people overcome years-long depression? Why not us on a regular basis? Why not us? Seeing impossible breakthrough to the barriers to the gospel. Here's my question. Have we focused on His mission? And have we sought the fullness of His Spirit? God took the early church through stages. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, uttermost parts. Jews only, everybody else. Gentiles. He finally got them there in chapter 10. Kinda. A Spirit-filled church empowers us to penetrate personality barriers, cultural barriers, language barriers, racial barriers. The power of the Holy Spirit is sent to make Jesus real and tangible and accessible within us to people that are so unlikely to ever give Jesus a second thought. It's happening all around the world. Why not here? Why not us? I just want to raise your anticipation today. I just want to raise a desire in our hearts to truly experience the power and the joy and the impact that can happen when we're Spirit saturated. A Spirit-filled church empowers us to relate the gospel to anyone we encounter. Can we just settle something? We can communicate the gospel in these present days in the midst of this perverse culture. We can. Would you just say it? We can. And this isn't a political speech. Some of you, you know what I'm talking about. We can. But I don't understand this generation. We can. We can. Sometimes the question is, will we try? This morning, they're celebrating it at St. Clair Prison, what God's done in Kairos. And I thank you for supporting Bill as he's gone and participated this weekend. And I saw a stack of cookies out here. Thank you. Thank you. I saw that you signed up to pray. Thank you. Because we are a house of prayer. But can we just settle it? The hardest criminal can be reached by the power of the Holy Spirit. The most hopeless addict can be delivered. We can relate to the gospel to this generation where all the rules have changed, where norms have been pushed aside. Judeo-Christian consensus seems to be a memory. But we can relate the gospel to everybody's wound because everybody's got one. And the Holy Spirit was sent to apply Jesus to the pain point of every individual. You got pain points where Jesus met you. Some of you, He met you this morning right here. He got involved and took your burden and says, this is where you're hurting the worst right now. I'm alive and well, and I'm stepping in because you've invited me to. Yes. But guess what? That story becomes your testimony. And your testimony, she understands it because she's been there. What I'm telling you is one of the tools the Holy Spirit wants to use is not only the gospel and the Word of God, it's your story. And I've said this several weeks in a row, write your testimony down. Learn your own testimony. Learn where the pain points were in your story or are in your story and how Jesus has made a difference, and you will have a launching pad to touch somebody you encounter this week. Because we're all human and we all got pain. The issue is, have we trusted it to Jesus? I was in Jack's yesterday morning. I was shocked by something I saw. I saw a lady who had a shirt, and this is what it said in bold white letters on a black t-shirt. I'm going to hell in all religions. We were sitting there, some of us sitting there sharing about Jesus, and they're sitting in the next table, and it just, I can't get my eyes off this thing, and she's got three beautiful little girls sitting around the table and a husband. And I'm thinking, except for that shirt, this looks like an awesome, healthy family. I'm going to hell in all religions. Nah, 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 nah. It was just a wake-up call to me. There's got to be some kind of disappointment deep down inside that woman. To have something like that on her shirt in the front of children in public. She was trying to make a statement to the world. And the statement, I believe, goes something like this. I've been messed over by church. I've been messed over by religion. I've been disappointed in people. I've been. Therefore, out of my face, all you religious freaks. That's the feeling I got from that. But before I could kind of get situated, and I was just praying, God, how can I talk to these people? What can I say? Lord, I don't know what to say to an attitude like that. And I began to realize, and I realized this a week or so ago, it just was made real to me in a certain social setting I found myself. I realized I can be terribly uncomfortable around people that have a Christless life. Anybody know what I'm talking about? I mean, we're so used to being around fine people like you and each other, and sometimes we're like fish out of water when we start swimming in the world. Can I tell you, greater is He that's in me than he that's in the world. And even though I may be uncomfortable with their attitudes and their sin, Jesus, by His Spirit, wants to break my heart so that I can connect with people like that. And the Spirit will help me share the gospel with even people with a shirt that says, I'm going to hell in all religions. Yeah, we got a challenge. Yeah, there's a generation gap. Yeah, there's a cultural revolution going on that, quite honestly, I just can't get my head around. There's things going on in our culture that most of us don't even know about and don't really want to. Listen to me. The Holy Spirit is not intimidated by this culture. The Holy Spirit is not intimidated by our government. The Holy Spirit is not intimidated by t-shirts. He is not intimidated by attitudes. He is not intimidated at all. And He lives in me. We got to quit this defeatist mentality that we can't reach our culture. We can. We can. If we're full of the Holy Spirit and we're full of God's love. And if we're full of the Holy Spirit, we will be full of God's love. You cannot be truly Spirit-filled without being full of love. Amen. For the lost and the broken and the addicted and the dysfunctional and the perverted and the depressed and everybody in between. If you don't have a compassion for them, you need another dose of the Holy Ghost. Say, but I'm uncomfortable. I can't help it. I'm uncomfortable. I am too. I wish we didn't live in this kind of world. But you know what? For such a time as this, you were brought into this world. This is no surprise to God. You didn't just find yourself in these circumstances. God knew exactly when you were going to be born, and He knew that you have something, somebody, a bunch of somebodies that you will encounter need. And that is your story coupled with the gospel empowered by the Spirit. That's what He wants for every one of us. You say, I'm not an evangelist, I'm not a teacher, I'm not this, I'm not that. Are you Spirit-filled? If you are, you will have an automatic desire to reach lost people, broken people. You have an automatic desire to bind up the broken and set the captive free. You will automatically have an urge in your soul if you're Spirit-filled. Yeah. I'm worked up. Why not us healing racial divides? Why not us reaching agnostics and atheists? Well, I'm not smart enough. Smart ain't what they need. What they need is love and a demonstration of the gospel. Why not us reaching LGBTQ plus people? Say, oh, we got to get over that. They are people and they are precious to the Father. And He wants them in His family. The issue is, are we willing to work through the discomfort, the embarrassment, the confusion, the mess that it takes to help somebody begin walking with Jesus and working through their issues? Do we believe God can deliver people? I do. And I think it's time we see more of it. Why not us bringing freedom to addicts so that meth mountain becomes miracle mountain? Hey, that's one of the first things I heard when I moved here. Oh, they call this meth mountain. It don't have to be called that. There can be so many miracles of deliverance and transformation that people will be drawn to this area because they start hearing all the addicts that are free. Yes. Who have a testimony of the power of the Holy Spirit and the truth of the gospel in their own lives. So why not us? Why not us? Because we can have what the early church had. And one of the things they had, and this is my second point, I believe it or not, I only got two main points today. Second point is this. They had unity in the middle of diversity. Unity in the middle of diversity. And we can too. Acts 2:42 through 47. Let me just read it for you. All the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper, and to prayer. A deep sense of awe came over them all, and the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders, and all the believers met together in one place and shared everything they had. They sold their property, possessions, and shared the money with those in need. They worshiped together at the temple each day, met in homes for the Lord's Supper, and shared their meals with great joy and generosity. And all the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people, and each day the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. You say, do you really believe we can have that? Yes, I do. Yes, I do. I just want to share a few things about unity with you, and then I'm going to ask the worship team to come back up, and we're going to have a little time of prayer, and I know it'll hit 12 noon somewhere in there and do what you got to do, but I'm going to be asking you in a moment to come forward and stand with me, and let's cry out for the fullness of the Holy Spirit. Because the fullness of the Holy Spirit can bring this. A spirit-engineered miracle is what that I just read from the scriptures. That doesn't happen in a diverse group of people like they had without a divine intervention by the Holy Spirit. Ask the UN. United Nations. Ask the USA. United States of America. We're probably more divided right now than we've ever been in our history. Why? It takes the Spirit of God to help people humble themselves and to love one another in spite of their differences, in spite of their flaws, in spite of their egocentricities, in spite of their annoying personalities. And yes, some of you, you think I got an annoying personality. But thank God you're here, you're back. It must be the Spirit of God. It must be. The Spirit of God can bring such a condition in our heart where we can dwell together in unity. And I just want to tell you just for a moment how important that is. John 17, this is the last great prayer of Jesus. John 17, I pray also for those who will believe me through their message. Talking about the apostles. That's us. Say, that's me. He's praying for me. Jesus is praying for me in this passage. I pray for those who will believe in me through their message that all of them may be one. Father, just as you are in me and I'm in you, may they also be in us so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I'm telling you, unity is not an option. Unity is essential. Unity is a demonstration to the world that all these diverse, flawed, sinful people can dwell together in unity and accomplish great things because they have humbled themselves and they're baptized in love and they nurture and care for one another. When in ordinary circles, you wouldn't be sitting by somebody you might be sitting by. But you didn't choose them. God did. And they're your family. Whether they're like you or not, they're your family. Whether they have the education you have or not, whether they have the money you got or not, whether they're from where you're from or not, whether they like what you like or not, they're your family. And when we love one another and care for one another and own the responsibility for one another as we pray for one another, then the world looks in the window and goes, how did that happen? I want some of that because I can't find that anywhere else. Diversity is beautiful because God wants every race, tribe, and tongue in heaven. He displays His artistry through variety. But can we find ourselves uncomfortable with variety? Yes, we can. Let's just be honest. We're more comfortable with people like us. Amen? Everyone, I don't care who you are. I don't care how loving, how outgoing you are. Every one of us are more comfortable with people that are just like us. Whether it's age range or it's whatever. God understands that, and that's natural. It's not a bad thing. It just shouldn't be a barrier. It just shouldn't be the limitation for how we express love and how we include people in our circle of love. It shouldn't be a barrier. I heard a pastor one time share, I don't know if it was a dream or a vision, but the Lord spoke to him and he said, my church is guilty of homosexuality. You say, what was that? Only loving and accepting those like us. That grieves the Father. When I'm only willing to love those who are just like me. Whether that's race economic status or educational status or culture or language, whatever it is, it's grieving to the heart of my Father when I only am willing to love and accept those just like me. It's more comfortable and it's natural. But we're not dealing with natural here. We're trying to show the world something supernatural. And the work of the Holy Spirit will help us go past those barriers of those just like me to those that aren't quite just like me. and be able to embrace them with care and concern and prayer and fellowship. Some of you get nervous now. The Father wants all in His family valued, reflecting the beauty of His Son in their own unique ways. He wants male and female, young and old, as His partners in the mission. And if you read this whole chapter, second chapter of Acts, you find out that the promise of the Spirit is to the young and the old. It's to the male and the female. It's to all the nations. In other words, everybody's included. You and your children and as many as are afar off as shall believe. That's what it says in Acts 2:38, I believe it is. But only the work of the Spirit can create such unity in such diversity and make it a harmonious whole. What does the devil do? He divides so he can conquer. We ought to be very careful as a people about anything that's said or done that divides people. We ought to be very careful. Very careful, because it's the devil's number one MO for the people of God is to divide and conquer, to divide and discredit. Amen? That's what he wants. We got to refuse to be any part of that. So the Spirit's fullness made unity possible and desirable. The Spirit's fullness made unity possible and desirable. What did it make these people desire to do? To pay attention to the apostles' doctrine, which for us is the teaching of Scripture. Can I say, there are, for you adults, there are three strong teaching opportunities on Sunday morning. Alan Wilson teaches our senior citizens class. Raise your hand, Alan. I want them to know who you are. Chris Robinson teaches a sanctuary class. Raise your hand, Chris. Steve and Mary teach a couples class upstairs in the newsroom. Raise your hand. There are opportunities to commit yourself to the apostles' doctrine. Unity, the unity of the Spirit also made them have a desire for joint prayer. And we have a prayer encounter tonight. You say, I pray. I'm a prayer warrior. I pray all the time. I don't need to come to that. I don't need to drive to the church again just to pray. Well, guess what? That's not biblical. The Bible tells us to join together for prayer. And this church that made this impact joined together daily for prayer. I'm not asking that. I am asking you to show up tonight if you can. And let's join together in prayer. Because here's the deal. You become intimate with the one you pray to. You become intimate with the ones you pray with. And you become intimate with the ones you pray for. There's a connection that happens when we pray together. And then unity gave them a desire for fellowship house to house. Now, many of you do this on your own, and I thank God for it. It's so healthy. For you to fellowship outside these walls, because it shows you got relationship that goes beyond a Sunday morning event. But life groups is our response to this need to help those that maybe you hadn't made those kind of connections yet. Maybe nobody's ever invited you to lunch, or maybe you hadn't had coffee with nobody, or you hadn't gone fishing with nobody. Life groups is a great way to meet people so you can begin building real connection. It's part of the Spirit-filled church. I'll leave that right there. And then finally, they had a desire to share their resources so that everybody that was in need had their needs met. You're good at that. I've seen this congregation rise up and take care of people in this church that were in hard times. I've seen it over and over again. But everybody needs to get in on the party. Unity is the essential sauce for all of us thriving and for making impact in our community. I want to read this to you. I want the worship team to go ahead and come up. Yeah. If you need to leave here in a moment, that's fine. But I'm going to invite everybody to come down and join us for prayer. I heard this report this week. I want you to hear this. This is very important. According to the Surgeon General's office, lacking social connections can increase the risk of premature death to levels comparable to smoking daily. Are you hearing this? Loneliness has as great a death rate as smoking. Loneliness increases the risk of premature death by nearly 30% and elevates our risk of stroke, heart disease, depression, anxiety, and dementia. Technology is making it worse. People who use social media for 2 hours or more daily are more than twice as likely to report feeling isolated. Uh-oh, meddling now. And those who use such apps for less than 30 minutes. People who are on social media for 2 hours or more are twice as likely to feel lonely as people who are on it 30 minutes or less. So technology's not helping us with the loneliness problem is the point. We need each other. You hear me say this over and over again because it's true, and I'm not sure all of us get it, but I'm going to keep saying it because it's all through the New Testament. We need each other. We don't just need to sit in the same room on Sunday morning. We need to be engage each other. All right, I'm done. If you want to come and just stand here for me with me for a moment or two and pray the Lord would saturate us with His Spirit, would you just get up out of your seats and come join me? Just crowd in as close as you can. We're going to pray with each other. We're going to pray with each other. Here's what I want us to pray our prayer priorities. For some of you new people here, you've not heard me say this. God gave me 7 prayer priorities. The first one is to pray for a hunger and thirst for God's fullness, His Spirit. Pray for the fullness of the Spirit because it affects everything else. The second one is compassion for the lost and the broken. The third one is a sense of urgency of the times and eternity. The fourth one is God can and will use me. The fifth one is unity that's based on mutual love, humility, and a common vision. The sixth one is wisdom to navigate the times. The last one is courage to stand up and speak up. Those are the 7 prayer priorities. Can you just lift your hands and say, more, Lord. Just come, Holy Spirit, more, Lord. Come on. I don't have any predetermined idea of what God wants to do right now, but what I do know is He responds to a cry that says, more! Spirit-filled. Come on, guys, y'all sing. We're just going to worship God. Just reach out. Just if you don't know what to say, just say, come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit, I need more. I need to be filled. I need to be saturated. I need to be touched by Your power. I need to be encouraged and empowered by Your Spirit to reach those I work with, I go to school with, I live by. Let me just say this to you. God feeds hungry people. And you may be sitting here with your hands raised and you're saying, come, Holy Spirit, fill me, saturate me, all those things I said. And it's like, okay, when's it going to happen? I don't know this, but what I do know is that God feeds hungry people. God gives drink to thirsty people. And if you've prayed a prayer, and I don't know how else to say this except this way, and you're content that maybe He didn't answer and you can go on your way and there not be some kind of ache in your heart that says, I gotta have more. I gotta give Him more of me because the Spirit dwells in you if you're a believer. But when you're baptized in the Holy Spirit, that Spirit in you begins to saturate your entire self. And guess what? The key to that, the lock to that is on the inside of our hearts. He won't make that happen. But hunger has a way of making us try to find a way to unlock ourselves and respond to the Spirit. He's not dangling a carrot in front of us that He will not come through for. He promised this is for you and your children and as many as afar off as shall believe. Do you believe? Do you believe the Spirit, the fullness of the Spirit is for your life? I'm going to pray a prayer for you. And my prayer is this. God, make them so thirsty, so hungry, they can't stand it. That they got to run to the prayer place over and over and over, and that their heart aches and longs for everything God wants to do in you and for you and through you until you come to the place you say, I'm not moving until you respond. He responds to that kind of hunger. Amen. So I'm going to pray for you, and I'm going to ask them to keep playing. You're dismissed whenever you want to go. But if, as long as people are here with their hands raised and they're praying and crying out to God, we're not going anywhere. Father, I pray for every one of us, including me. Lord, you've saturated me with your spirit before, but I leak. I leak. And I need a new saturation of your Holy Spirit. I pray, oh God, you would make me and these hungry. You would make me and these thirsty. And so that, Lord, we wouldn't be miserable in the sense of a sinful miserable, but we would be so hungry, so thirsty, so desirous of your fullness that we take every moment to turn our heart and attention and desire toward you. And I know you shall respond with an outpouring of your spirit in each of our lives when we get to that place. May we be ready and receptive and responsive, God, to let your spirit flow from deep within, through us and out of us, when that moment comes. In Jesus' name. I'm going to ask them to continue to sing. I'm going to sit here and worship God until I know all of you are done. But if you're done, feel free to slip out, whatever. But we're not going to officially dismiss. Go ahead and sing, guys.